Hey friends, welcome back to Heretical Hippies, where Anna and Carrie Jo wander back into the wreckage of their deconstruction to see if they can offer hope to anyone else who might be climbing out of the dust and ashes of their faith. Buckle up, it's about to get real.
Cool. So let's get into loving others. I think this part of the discussion is really geared towards anyone that knows somebody that is going through deconstruction. If you want to learn how to love others, I think these are some really good tips. So let's start with don't freak out. Which was our same suggestion, and a lot of this is going to be overlapping, but maybe you're coming at it from my daughter or my son or my best friend or whoever is going through this. What do I do to help them? How do I come alongside them? How do I love them? And first thing is just don't act like they've turned into aliens.
For real.
Yeah, they're just still human beings that are just trying to figure out this thing we call life, So take a chill pill, take a deep breath, and listen to the rest of this list.
Yes. Yeah, I just want to add one quick thing to that, like the don't freak out. I've had people like full on freak out on me on Facebook and Instagram and text and anything, any media you can think of. Mm-hmm. I've had people freak out on me because of how public I've been about my journey. And I have, like, this actually ties into loving yourself. It's really hard not to take that personally and be like, oh my gosh, like, I'm still me, but I have to remind myself that they're freaking out because of the system. I mean, they think I'm going to hell. So it kind of makes sense that people freak out at you. So I think for me, that was important in my journey. Again, like as so many people knew about it, they were very concerned for me. And I get it. I was there 5-10 years ago. So I have to keep reminding myself, it's okay. Like, I get why they're freaking out. I don't love it. I don't love experiencing that on this end of things, but I do get it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I get it too. And the way I talked about it earlier, that's, I'm intentionally very carefully going through the process of exposing myself or to, outing really myself as a non-believer. And I'm taking very meticulous steps to do that in order to minimize the freaking out.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think that if you genuinely are wanting to love your friend, family member, whatever, who is going through deconstruction, embrace the very real fact that it's not your job to change their mind, which is number two.
Yes.
Don't go into the conversations thinking that you have any right to their mental real estate. And I think that we talked about that in the last session too. A lot of, like I said, there's going to be a lot of overlapping, but it's evangelical Christianity. That's the job, right? To evangelize. And if you could just take a break from that for a minute and see this person just as a genuine person that you care about, not as someone to change.
Yes.
But just someone to love. Empathy is huge. Bringing empathy into the scenarios, which is the next step, but just embracing the fact that it's not your job to change them. And genuinely, if anything ever changed anybody anyway, it's love, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, if there was, a lot of people make decisions out of fear within Christianity, and you don't want to, that's not a healthy mode of operation. Let's encourage each other with acceptance, radical acceptance and love and empathy rather than fear-based freaking out, which
Yes. Yeah, I actually had to put boundaries around a mentoring relationship because she was at that point in time unable to listen with empathy. And she also would not listen to things I was considering without saying Bible verses to me. Mm-hmm. You know, like bringing it back around to what she believed was the absolute truth. And there just wasn't space being created for me to question, to share, to just be open in dialogue. And that was sad. It was really sad. It was like a almost 20 year relationship that, I mean, I would still say she's my friend, but we have minimal contact now because it just, I recognize it as not a safe space. Yeah. So that's
yeah, that, yeah. And it is a bit, I mean, I think go for, if you know someone that you want to love through their deconstruction, if you go into it with evangelical mindset to, you're going to evangelize this person, you're going to try to talk them out of it, you've already drawn a line in the sand and you're going to push them away.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. So learning to listen with empathy, ask genuine questions in order to understand, not to make a point, you know. Don't try to use the question as a way to get in what you believe.
Yes.
Ask questions with genuine curiosity. Don't spew Bible verses or beliefs at them to prove that you're right. People that are deconstructing are no longer using the Bible to define what is right and wrong necessarily. And so it's not going to carry any weight. So if it's not going to be effective, and if you're not working, if you're not using the same resource to define what is right or wrong anymore, really what you're left with is just being human with one another.
Yes.
Without the doctrine, without the dogma, without the scripture, just what does it look like to be human together?
And yeah, which is harder than you would think for Christians. Right. I mean, for Christians with like maybe formerly Christians, it's nearly impossible. I mean, there are exceptions, but I've found very few people who are willing to engage with me in really on any level, but especially on spiritual things.
Yeah, I think that comes with the territory. I mean, obviously there's a cognitive dissonance that prevents people from genuinely seeing from different angles in that way, the way that we're talking about. But, and it's not, I'm not slighting evangelicals. I don't want to talk down about their way of thinking. I think it could benefit Christianity to expand how they relate to the world, and expand how they perceive their relationship with other people. And in general, obviously there's people out there that are awesome Christians that know how to do that. But
yeah.
But I think that it's hard for Christians, a lot of them at least, to know how to have conversations about other things besides their faith, which brings us to our next point, to be willing to hang out and not talk about anything spiritual is huge. I think laughing together is a really, really valuable way to be human, like I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
You know, just seeing life together and looking at how ridiculous things can be sometimes and and just laughing, you know, it takes away so much pressure and anxiety, and it just makes us human. So yeah, have conversations about other stuff. What else are you interested in? But then at a certain point, and I want to hear more about what you think about this too, Trujillo, but I have a friendship that at first when I deconstructed, our friendship kind of seemed to be falling away from each other. But I think at some point we realized that we didn't want that. And even though she's still a believer and I'm not, we came back together with a new understanding that we genuinely loved each other so much that we're willing to try to figure this out. And as a result, now we're both more comfortable. Like, for a while, we just took a break from talking about anything spiritual. And we just talked about life. And it was so beautiful. It was just, we got together and we just talked about life. We'd laugh, we'd have fun. And it was, I was so grateful she was willing to do that. And then now we're in this new season where we're beginning to start talking about each other's like beliefs again. But it's very slow. And it's more just asking questions and genuinely listening.
Yeah, I love that. That is awesome that you've had that experience.
Yeah, I'm so very grateful. I really am. I really was scared there for a minute that I was going to lose her. But yeah, we're not. And it's beautiful. And it can happen, people. It can.
It can. I also have a story of a friend. We actually never fell away, but, you know, she's dedicated, amazing Christian woman. One of the good ones. Put a little asterisk there. She's one of the good ones. But, you know, she has kind of held my hand this whole journey, and not in the sense of like trying to win me back or love me back or anything like that, but just genuinely curious about what I'm believing now or what I'm thinking or what I'm considering. And she actually has the gift of listening. She is an amazing listener and also asks really great probing questions. She would be a great podcast host, actually. But she has journeyed with me through this, and I have felt so seen and accepted and validated, even though it's not for her. Like, that journey is not for her, and we're okay with that. But we also had other things in common besides just being believers. We enjoy similar activities. We both love thrifting. We love the same types of like clothing styles. So it's just like, we have so many other things that our friendship was based on. It was easy to not fall away, I think. But also it had a lot to do with a decision that she made at some point. What am I going to do with this? How am I going to engage with my friend while she's going through this? You know, she could have cut and run, but she didn't. And I'm so thankful for that. It is such a gift. It can't be understated. Wait, it can't be overstated. What the hell is the right thing? It can't be overstated.
It can't overstated.
It can't be overstated.
That's awesome. I'm glad that you have a friend like that as well. That's great. It's so valuable to, like you were saying, can't be overstated. It's to be able to bridge that gap, it's just a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings me to the next thing, practicing radical acceptance. And I mentioned this in the last discussion. Accepting does not mean agreeing. Acceptance means allowing people to be themselves. And I think it's a really important caveat to that is it's not a suggestion to be applied to situations of abuse. I'm not asking people to accept people robbing other people of life or things or heinous crimes.
Yes.
I'm not asking you to accept pain and suffering from other people. Abuse, period.
Yeah.
I think in general, radical acceptance is about embracing situations in life and people that and genuinely accepting them for who they are, who they choose to live, how they choose to live out their life is an act of unconditional love, in my opinion.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. Which, again, is tricky in the evangelical community. They claim God loves unconditionally, but you have to believe the right things mm-hmm. in order to be fully loved by him. So, you know, like it's a tricky kind of conundrum they find themselves in. And I feel like for me personally, I didn't understand what unconditional love was really within a faith community until leaving the faith community. Mm. Now I understand what unconditional love looks like for other people.
Mm.
So yeah, it's tricky.
This is tricky. And I mean, I really try not, but I'm going to do it. I think that Christianity is always, I mean, not just Christianity, but the Christian God is conditional.
Yes.
So it's a really challenging concept to ask people to radically accept me where I'm at and others where they're at because of that. And that's a really hard truth. If you are a Christian and you're listening to this, you may have a hard time hearing that. And I don't want to come across as I'm, but I don't think I am. I genuinely, with love in my heart, and say that Christianity and its God are not loving unconditionally. And that's just a hard truth. Mm-hmm. I'll hate myself, I know, but I'm trying not to go into it without getting on a rabbit trail. So
yeah, we can unpack that in another episode.
Absolutely. So the next bit of advice is to quote unquote read the room. You've probably heard this phrase before. Some people are really good at walking into a room and knowing what's going on, right? Some people not so much. You know, pay attention to what your friend needs. Ask if they're willing to discuss their spiritual journey. Ask if they're ready to discuss anything. Be flexible with their specific needs. And give them time and space to process when they don't feel able or willing to talk about it. This is kind of, you know, I touched on this earlier as well. I have had to let Carrie Jo know a couple of times, you know, hey, I'm not ready for this subject, or I'm not ready to, you know, share my face. And she has been so gracious with me. And, I'm so grateful that she's been willing to read the room well.
Oh, and love you, girl.
Thank you. Yeah, you gave me the time and the space I need. You're giving me the time and the space that I need. And it's beautiful. And it feels amazing. Like, aww. I know with Carrie Jo, I can be myself. And you may not agree. I may not agree. But we can be ourselves with each other. And it's priceless. So I encourage anyone out there that knows someone that's going through deconstruction to it's a feeling that everybody needs to experience in order like to really genuinely give someone the space to be themselves, to let them know that you're ready to talk about it when they are is priceless.
Yeah, I agree.
Any thoughts?
I was just thinking, you know, it's interesting because I feel capable of offering that to you because I received that from my husband. I was really in the depths of it and going through, like I said, a million different podcasts and just consuming content at an alarming rate. And of course, he's working full time, so he's not able to do that. But I was like kind of fast forward button on my experience, and I didn't even know how to articulate anything for a long time. And then finally, when I was able to talk about, you know, this certain subject, I would bring it up and talk about it with him. And then I might be dealing with a different topic at the same time. And I just really couldn't wrap my head around that yet. So I wouldn't say anything about it. And he wouldn't ask me specific points and questions about different things. Or if he did, I would just say, I don't know. Like I'm still sorting through that. And it was just a beautiful, safe space to know that he's just allowing me to go through it. And not forcing, well, you need to know about this because it's important. You know, like there was nothing like that. And so I think when you receive that, it's really easy to offer that to other people because like you said, it feels amazing. It's such a safe, comforting, like warm and cozy feeling that you can just be who you are, process how you process, and it's okay. It's acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. Beautiful. So nice. I mean, I could talk about, yeah, this is, I'm really glad that your husband gave you that. That's awesome. And yeah, I feel like I've gotten the same thing from mine, and it's actually kind of amazing that you and I both have managed to stay married through our deconstructions. And it's amazing that our husbands have been so patient and come alongside us in it. It's really kind of remarkable.
It is. I feel like we've defied all odds.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, next subject. We just have a couple more points to make. Remind them that your relationship goes beyond shared beliefs. We talked about that this last time, but this is so important. Like, find something else to talk about. If you don't feel comfortable yet breaching the subject of faith and beliefs, find something else to talk about. Like Carrie Jo mentioned, she can go to her shopping with her friend. Like, pick them up and say, "Hey, we're gonna do something different. Let's go bowling. Let's go thrifting. Whatever." That it's just a way to show somebody you love them.
Yes.
Just be willing to allow your relationship to change, even, and perhaps fade for a time. You might need time to kind of work through some of these points that we've talked about, or to just give yourself time to process without the emotion attached to it. That's huge. I think I can relate to that. Just giving yourself the space so that you can come into the relationship more cautious and intentional and not reactionary. You want to respond to your friend, not react to them.
Yeah, that's a tall order, but I do think that's an important aspect as well of being a support person for somebody who's deconstructing. Because, we will the I say we as in the people who are deconstructing, we will constantly be coming up against people who are reactionary, especially in social media platforms. It's just so easy to be brave and bold behind a keyboard. It's different face to face, obviously, but it's not going to be a rare experience for us the more public we go with our journey. But it will be a remarkable outlier if somebody actually is not reactionary and wants to just lovingly respond. And maybe I don't mean respond with a scripture. I mean like respond with a curiosity question or even just an accepting statement of, wow, I've never thought of it that way. Thanks for sharing what you've been thinking about. Just something affirming of them as a human and the process they're experiencing is so huge. And I think in evangelicalism, there's such a duality nature to everything, in, out, saved, damned, sinner, saint, it's us versus them mentality. And all of a sudden, we are a them. The deconstructing people are a them to evangelicals. And if you are still a Bible believing Christian and you want to maintain a friendship with somebody who is deconstructing, yeah, please be willing to hold space and to not force things and to just allow things to progress organically and in love. I guess love. Everything boils down to love for me. I feel like if you can genuinely say this act is done in love, like in genuine, heartfelt love, not speaking the truth in love the way Christians use that to be an asshole to people. I don't mean that. But I mean just genuine, like, yes, this resonates with love. You can't go wrong.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful way to wrap up our tips for others to learn how to love is to love.
Yes.
It's
Yeah.
beautiful.
It's simple, yet not.
Right. So I think this is, I just read a NPR article this morning. A new study from Pew Research finds that the religiously unaffiliated a group comprised of atheist, agnostic, and those who say their religion is nothing in particular, is now the largest cohort in the U.S. They're more prevalent among American adults than Catholics, which is about 23%, or evangelical Protestants, which is about 24%. And the article is, it goes on talking about, they're calling them the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. So I think this particular podcast is extremely valuable as a reminder to basically, if you're not already a nun, you're probably going to be one.
Yeah.
At some point in your life. And then if you are not already a nun, somebody you know is. And let's figure out a way to bridge the gap so that we can move forward in love.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. So that's a wrap, isn't it? Huh?
Yes, friends. That wraps it up. That's it for this heretical episode. Thanks for listening, and please be sure to rate and review our podcast on whatever platform you're listening to it on. Share it with anyone who might be encouraged. See you next time. Peace out, MFers.
Oh my gosh.
Well, friends, that wraps up this heretical episode. Thanks for listening, and be sure to rate and review our podcast and share with anyone who would be encouraged. See you next time.